needs Josh Butler when you got Tom Curran?
England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins.
Oh, he's given it. He's got a wicket. Would you believe it? Strangled down the leg side. Cook is loving it.
Welcome back to the Court and Ball podcast. We are back. So is the English international cricketing summer. And it hasn't got off to the greatest start for England at all. Of course, we were defeated by New Zealand. I think it was our first home defeat in a test series since 2014, I want to say. And I think it was Sri Lanka. Could be wrong. But of course, I am joined by the one and only Ben Vine.
Hello.
And I've got no famed introduction for him this week. I feel reasonably disappointed in myself. So it's Salah.
The man with the most annoying voice in village cricket.
Yeah, of course.
There you go. I think you've done my job for me there, Ben. So thank you very much for that. Guys, how are we?
I'm very well, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So as I said, let's get into talking about the New Zealand test games. And of course, we opened began the test series with the first game at Lord's. Finally, crowds, of course, back. Is this going to be one of the first times we've had crowds in a sporting event? Of course, we had the last two Premier League games had crowds back, but I can't think of too many other events that had crowds.
No, I don't think so. That's one of the first.
A reasonably sized crowd as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think, was it 8,000 at Lord's again? Could be wrong.
Edgbaston was a test one, wasn't it? Like one of the test events.
A pilot event, yeah. Of course, I attended three days out of the four, which was great.
Lucky you.
No, two. I can't even remember myself. Yeah, I did go to three out of the four. And, well, you say lucky me. The fourth day was better for the football than the cricket. But that's a different story, or maybe something we'll talk about a bit later. But it was great to have crowds back. And as you say, Ben, the Edgbaston test was a pilot event. And I think they've announced today that one of the Pakistan white ball games is going to be a similar thing, where I presume you're going to have to submit tests like we did before attending. But anyway, let's move on and talk about what went on in that Lord's test. We could go through all the changes or the IPL stars missing. Of course, we didn't have any Butler, Bear. Well, I said we didn't have Bairstow, but I think we're both, or all of us, are quite happy about that. Stokes, of course, missed out. Butler, Archer, I think, is actually ruled out through injury, weren't he?
Yeah, he's got his elbow.
So there are opportunities to impress. Of course, we handed a debut to Ollie Robinson, who we'll talk about shortly. But I think the major debut and the major performance on debut was New Zealand's Devon Conway. 200 runs he made on test debut at Lord's. I think that's got to be one of the best debuts in cricket history. I mean, I haven't got the stats in front of me. But Ben, I'll begin with you. How good was Conway?
Well, it was annoying, wasn't it? But it was good. It was really good. He got I think it was the first ever debutant at Lord's to score a double 100, pretty sure.
Which is pretty mad,
really, isn't it?
Of all places to score a double on debut at Lord's as well.
He just looked like he'd been playing it for as if it was nothing. There's another South African batsman who could have played for South Africa, but didn't get a chance, and then they'll probably be regretting it, I imagine.
I'm sure he probably could have played for England as well. one reason or another, but why does South Africa miss out on all these players? Is there a reason behind it?
I think it's because they have the sort of quota thing, don't they? But also he actually only averaged at like sort of 30 odd in South African first class, and then I think he went to New Zealand and started averaging about 60, so all of a sudden they just put him.
I do think that if you ask South Africa, they'd blame the quota, but I do think that the quote is something that South African cricket are really bothered by, even though, you know, you take like Rabada, for example, you know, maybe he started as just because of the quota, but he's become their most successful bowler in the current squad.
Like Peterson, that's why he left, is because they were being moved around sort of the order and stuff, being trying to fit in.
Yeah.
Then make the quota. And it's not that they're not, because South Africa produce some of the best players in the world, but if you're good enough at that, at their level, in their first class stuff, you'll get through. It's like Peterson wasn't a very good batsman in South Africa. It was when he came to England, he actually became good. So you can't really credit South African cricket for it, or Jonathan Trott even. No. He didn't really score any runs in South Africa, but they came to England or New Zealand and actually did.
A nice interesting insight there, because it's something I've never really considered. I mean, we know why the quote is there. It's there for a reason, and you can talk about that, whether what your opinions are on that. As we said, Conway was mightily impressive. I think, Ben, you were spot on when you said that Conway looked like a player who's been playing for the last 10 years. He looked so calm at the crease. And whilst that being said, I think they beat his inside edge quite a few times, didn't they, from what I saw, whether that was a technical fault or something.
I remember Mark Wood sort of roughing him up a little bit before, might have been before lunch or tea on the first day. And he sort of looked a bit unsure, but then he came out after the break and was just pulling him and looked really assured. So there didn't seem to be a massive technical flaw that I could see.
No, I don't see any full ball. He just, you know, dismissed that before, and strong off the legs as well. He was almost too strong, wasn't he, when he clipped that straight out to Crawley.
He did that in the Test Championship final as well. That's how he got out. I think it was.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen that. Yeah.
So the average is 76 currently, which is pretty remarkable, albeit only playing a couple of games. He was mightily impressive. I don't think there's anything more we can really say about that. So let's move on to something from an England perspective now. Before the Test series, just between us three, we were discussing England's top order, weren't we?
Yeah.
You know what, Salad? I feel like you should introduce this topic and perhaps give a more of a balanced view, because I'm not the best person to do that.
Well, I think it's very fair to say that there has been some serious shade thrown at Rory Burns by Matt as to whether or not he should keep his place in the top order. And myself and Viney both agreed that he should still be playing. All he's done is he's gone out and shown exactly that. And it's not very often that Matt's wrong about cricket, but yeah, I think he's had a bit of a mare here.
Who was it who you wanted to play, Matt?
Racy.
He was really successful, wasn't he, in this series?
Wasn't his top score 8, Racy?
Oh, yeah, I don't think he made it past 10. He got two ducks in a row, didn't he?
Wasn't it 3?
Nah, because he did that in the second innings at Lord's. It was a draw, wasn't it?
No, Pope, he did that in the second innings.
No, he didn't, because it was Pope and Sibley who were there at the end.
My apologies. Even so, an average of, 3.3? No, 3.2? I don't think it's even that.
Go on, Matt, talk us through it.
Oh, if I must. Okay, so Bracey has batted well this season. I remember giving a few stats. I think he averaged around 50 in the county championship.
Meanwhile, Burns is averaging about 60. But yeah,
that is true. Yeah, good. It's only fair that you reference that. And I thought, well, we've had problems with the top three in general. It wasn't just a case of singling out Burns, but I mean, out of the three, I think if you're going back to India, yeah, he did. He probably struggled the most out of anyone in India. So I was keen to see what Brace is about. He's been with the squad for a year now. He was with in the bubble through the West Indies and Pakistan tests, if I'm not wrong, Ben.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. So the England camp clearly saw something in him. Well, maybe still see something in him, but that's up for debate. But and one thing that struck me was reading one of these analytical reports on Brace's game and the amount of defensive shots he plays, and I think the ratio of playing defensive shots and not getting out, and it was miles ahead of anyone in the championship this season. It just appealed for me to see Bracey bat at 3. I just think he was that rock fighting off that new ball if we do lose a wicket early on. Just sort of, as I said, someone to be there throughout the innings, maybe like you're saying T20 games, you know, be the anchor almost. But I just think his record recently.
Do you know what? Genuinely, when you were saying this all, like I was saying no, but the thing I didn't understand is he's never batted at 7 in first class cricket. He's not really kept that much.
Nah.
If you think, and I think NASA said it on Sky,
yeah,
the next best keeper batsman in England outside Folkes, Butler, Bairstow, so none of those two were going to be picked, was Ollie Robinson from, I think it's Kent.
Yep.
So why not go for the bloke who's the next best keeper rather than just trying to fit someone in because you like him and you like how it's bad? Batting at 7 and keeping is not the same as batting at 3. He will then be judged by how he batted there. But actually, if you're coming at 7, it's a lot harder to play how you would at 3 because you've got either bat with a tail, you might come in for a collapse. Like, but if you bat at 3, you're sort of, you know, you could be in the first over or the 40th. It doesn't really change your role that much. What is he, like 22, 21 maybe?
Yeah.
Chuck someone that young in who's never done it before and just expect him to be able to do it because he can keep. I think it's ridiculous.
Having said that, I think the gap in between his bat and pad while he was playing defensive shots was inexcusable. The technique just looked so poor. I'm not sure whether it was the pressure.
He looked okay, but he didn't look anything to write. Like, he wasn't a Folks or Butler. No. Then that, I don't think he is that. I think he can keep in white ball cricket because you can sort of get away with not being as clean a keeper. May as well pick your next best keeper batsman to bat at seven. Go for Ollie Robinson and say, do you know what? You got a chance. The odds are you aren't going to be on the plane to Australia. But if you come in, score 100, keep unbelievably well, you might just get there. Like, Hamid's come in to be the top three replacement. But why? That's what Bracey was in the squad originally for.
That's it,
so why not keep him as that anyway? Crawley was horrendous at Lords and he looked awful. He just looked like he needed to be out of it. So then what you could have done is put Bracey up at three, just move him straight in and keep your keeper the same. Whereas what they couldn't do was then put Hamid in at three for Crawley, because all of a sudden Bracey's going, well, I'm meant to be the top three replacement. So what, does Sam Billings come in? And Sam Billings isn't even the best keeper batsman in red ball cricket. Kent, he doesn't keep for Kent in first class cricket. It's just because he's played for England before and I don't understand it. It's just stupid selection.
It really is.
I genuinely just don't understand it.
As I said, I don't think Billings has kept it in red ball for quite a while.
No, I like Sam Billings. You know, I like Sam Billings.
Yeah.
But I like Sam Billings as a batsman. I'm not that fussed about him as a keeper.
Mm.
So, you can't just go on picking people because they've played for England in the past. It's, you know, we know how different Test cricket is against you. We've got an extremely good New Zealand team to come in and make your debut against this New Zealand team. You can't be picking players based on, oh, they've played white ball cricket for England in the past. It's naive, isn't it? It's not a...
But also, just to go back to Bracey, when or if Bracey gets a chance to go and bat at three, all of a sudden he knows, I've only ever scored 8 runs in test matches. But he won't be thinking, oh, I was out of position. He won't be thinking rationally like we will. He'll be thinking, am I good enough? Am I this? Am I that? But actually, all it is he's not back. If he'd come in and batted at three and got 8 runs, you'd say, you know, maybe he needs to go and work on something. But at seven, it's a completely different role in the team. It's like asking Ben Stokes to go and bat at 9 and open the bowling. Ask Chris Wokes to go up and bowl 10 overs in a test match and bat at 3. If they're out of position, they're not going to perform as well. I know that's like two very good players and settled international cricketers, but it's that sort of same thinking. It's like, well, it's just, it's flawed. It's like, it's just stupid.
I think you've put it really well there, Ben. I mean, as I said, I thought there were qualities that Bracey could perhaps transfer into test match cricket, but you've balanced it out well in saying he was almost thrown under the bus in terms of not being an out-and-out keeper. Maybe that's unfair, but not an experienced keeper, not the best keeper possible that we could have selected.
Exactly, yeah.
Not in a natural position.
You should pick the best 11 players, not just the blokes that you want to pick because you like the look of them. If he's out of position, he's out of position, he doesn't play. Let's say Joe Root's injured to play in the ODIs. Do you all of a sudden just bring in Craig Overton to bat at 3 because you like him? He's not the same player, is he?
No.
It's not what he does. Anyway, that's my rant over about
you've
it.
You've got it right there, Ben.
I felt sorry for him more than anything, to be honest, because I just thought young and he's like basically being thrown into the deep end and then he'll just be spat back out and he won't play again for a few years, I reckon. But like, he could go back to Gloucester now and just not score any runs because he thinks he's not good enough. Like, you could have genuinely just ruined a young cricketer for no other reason than the fact that you liked him and you thought you want to squeeze him in the lineup somehow. But anyway,
you're spot on there. Let's hope we see more of Bracey in the future in a natural position. Of course, yes, he didn't bat well enough and you know, his dismissals were poor. No excuse there, but there are reasons perhaps why that was the case. Let's move on. We'll briefly touch upon this subject because there are areas that we don't really want to go into, but Ollie Robinson's performance at Lords stood out with the ball and batted well in his one and only innings. Salad, how did you view just his performance on the field?
I was impressed with his bowling. Very good economy of 2.6 and took 4 wickets on debut. It's impressive. to say the least.
There's not much, not too much more to say, is there really? Ebaldwelly was consistent, maybe not the quickest bowler, but I think he put it in the right area.
I don't think he needs
time.
To do though.
No, not
he's not, not he's not one of those who you look at and you go, you need loads of pace, because he's just like so accurate and bounce and stuff. It almost he hits the bat quite hard as well. Ball's a heavy ball, as Nasser would say.
Lovely analysis. What did you make of it, Ben? Anything in particular that stood out for you?
I just liked his sort of accuracy and the way he went about it. I think I looked at it and I thought there's a bloke who could perform in Australia. Not express pace, nothing that we've never seen before, but just a good bowler. Like, yeah. Not someone who seemed flustered. Even after, like, I don't even want to talk too much into it, but even after everything that came out and stuff, he still came out and bowled well the next day, taking wickets. And you just think, like, that amount of character is so impressive.
That's a very good point. I don't think that was really talked about enough, how, you know, he had to still go out and perform for England. That could have gone wrong for him.
Of course, he took three for in the second innings with an economy of less than two.
There you go. It's a good point. That I think it's something to bear in mind that he did. Put that to the back of his mind and perform. Whether he'll be available or they'll consider him for Australia is another question. But I think he's certainly done himself no harm in terms of his performance levels. He's shown that he is good enough for international cricket. But of course, we'll see how that moves on in the future. Quickly talk about now how poor our batting was in general at Edgbaston in particular. Some of the shots, Salad, how bad were they?
I mean, what do you want me to say? It's poor, because I think even though there are a couple of players in this team who don't have much experience, we also have some seriously experienced batsmen. I was really disappointed how Root played across both of the tests, to be honest. Root has it sometimes where he just has a string of maybe four or five innings where it doesn't quite go right to him. But then, and people go, is Root still, you know, one of the best? Can we still compare him to Kohli? And then suddenly he'll come out and score a ton and another one. So I think maybe he's going through one of those phases. It was just poor all round, to be honest, I think.
Do you know what it is? So you've got Burns has played 25 matches, averages 33. Sibley, 20 matches, 31. Crawley, 14 matches, averaging 29.3. Root, 105 matches, averaging 48. So there's a standout. Then you've got Pope, 19 matches at 31.5. And then Lawrence, 7 matches, averaging about 30. That's just not enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need one bloke averaging 50, two or three averaging 40. The rest of them should be then your inexperienced ones. You look at that, Root's played 105 matches. The rest of them combined, I don't think they've even played 80. And I know people say, Stokes and Butler have got to come in. Yeah, they have. But Stokes and Butler haven't got unbelievable test match records. Neither of them average 40. So England will probably go to Australia with a top six with only one player averaging above 40. And that will not win you the Ashes. What needed this summer is Pope or Lawrence to have stood up, and Crawley, Sibley or Burns to... I know Burns did and he played very well. And if he continues that, then fair enough. But we needed at least two of the top six to go and say and sort of stamp their place. Right now, who's gonna play between Pope and Lawrence?
Lawrence.
Yeah.
You say Lawrence. I would personally, after this series, say Lawrence. But Pope then has looked better in South Africa on bouncy pitches. So do you then pick Pope?
We're not really.
No.
We haven't got really sort of confirmation, have we?
Like, everyone says that this England team could go to win in Australia. But if you look through their 2010-11 winning side, you had Strauss, Cook and Trott all averaging over 40. You had Peterson, Bell, Collingwood all averaging over 40. And then Pryor averaging at least 35, probably. That's the kind of batting lineup that wins you the Ashes. You know, you're going to come up against Cummins, Stark, Hazelwood, Lyon. They're not going to give you anything. It's not going to win your series. You have to have some. I think we've got to stop picking players based on two seasons worth of county championships. You've got to pick people who've had five. You know, Devin Conway is 29. He knows his game. Pope, Lawrence, they're good players, but they're so young. They don't know properly how to deal with things yet. And that's where you only need one of them in there.
and you can have them batting with a Root or a Stokes or someone like that to help them through it. But it shouldn't be that Lawrence is at the end of the first innings at Edgbaston, getting what 80 odd, whatever it was, with the tail and looking outside of Burns like the most assured batsman. It's ridiculous. Like, there's too many stroke players, not enough people who are willing. You got Crawley going out and driving at everything like Lewis Hamilton. It's ridiculous.
Spot on.
Just leave it alone.
So as I said, Ben, yeah, I think you got it spot on about England's batting there. You need people that are going to make your runs now and win your series now, not who've got the potential to do it in a couple of years, or players that might make the runs. You want them to do it now and base that off a consistent record. And maybe not. It's sort of unfair to say you might fluke a season, and because you know it's still playing a number of games, but if there's someone with proven record of doing it over time, you've got to be really selecting them opposed to someone who's perhaps only doing it for 1 year. And of course, I think it's maybe something to do with those coming through the programs that the ECB implements and stuff like that. Do they favour young players who they've seen from an early age and built up? But I think we'll move on to our next section. I've just got to add how good New Zealand were. I think they're definitely a contender for the best team in the world. I'm just going to ask you for a one-word answer. Are New Zealand the best team in the world at the moment?
Yes.
I think in the future, in the foreseeable future, we'll discuss where England go from here and the improvements we'd make to the team for the series against India. I think that's what we'll do. And we'll move on to our next section, which is a bit of a different one. And it's actually a fantasy T20 blast section. Of course, Wisden provide a fantasy cricket game for the T20 blast. It's not something I'd come across before. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
No, I don't. I think it's new this year, to be honest.
There you go, yeah. Nothing I'd seen before. And I thought, why don't we create a podcast league? So we've done that. And a couple of weeks into it, it's going... I'm not going to say it's going well for me, but it's been fun. So I think, first of all, we'll just quickly discuss which players and which teams we've gone for. So, Ben, would you like to explain?
So my batting is Banton, Leaning, Hales, Salt, then Jax and Thompson as my all-rounders, then Glenn Phillips, keeper, then Harmer, Lockie Ferguson, Matt Parkinson and Saqib Mahmood as my bowlers.
Interesting. I think one pick that stood out for me there in these couple of games is Jack Leaning at Kent.
Yes.
Batted fairly well, hasn't he, this season? I think he made 80-odd.
Yeah, he's got 554 points. His form is 8.5. I don't really know what that means. But
he's playing well, clearly.
Yeah.
Anyone that's standing out in particular for you?
I love Glenn Phillips. What a player.
How much did he cost you?
I bought... Is he 66k? Unreal. No. Also, I just want to shout out, I picked Archie Lehman.
Yes.
In my whole squad. Just want to shout that out. 16-year-old leggy. I saw the potential. Definitely didn't just pick him because he was cheap.
Well done, mate. Well done.
He has done brilliantly, hasn't he?
He has.
Great catch of the night. So fair play to him.
Yeah.
He's already done more than we ever will. So fair play.
Yeah.
He literally looks... I think I was listening to something and I don't know if they're being serious, but presumably he'd just been at school and he had to go straight from a school to a game, and he turned up to the dressing room in his blazer and stuff, which I thought, you know, of course, is pretty funny. So yeah, fair play. It's a good pick, Ben, I must admit, because he has done well so far, hasn't he? Especially for someone.
I haven't actually had him in my team yet, but yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
I sort of heavy loaded it with my batting, to be honest.
Yeah.
Salt, Hales, Leaning, Banton. That's pretty powerful.
Fair enough. How's Salt done this season?
323 points, not too bad.
No,
7.8. I assume that means out of 10, which is pretty good, I suppose. So
yeah, fair enough.
Banton's been disappointing.
Banton's been poor, hasn't he?
He's got 7.7, but he's only got 99 points. So it's not great.
No, I expected better of him, if I'm honest. But go on, Salad. Tell us who you've got then.
Okay, so for my batting, of course, I've got the best T20 batsman in the world, Alex Hales.
Yep.
Then I've got Jason Roy, Bel Drummond, Live, and my all-rounders are Moeen Ali, Livingston. My wicketkeeper is Hussain, who I chose because he was cheap. I actually don't know who he plays for. Then I went Rashid, Parkinson, Garton, and Matt Taylor, because it's all at risk with Matt Taylor.
Hang on. Did you say Liam Livingston's an all-rounder?
Yeah, he is. He's on the game. He is, yeah.
Christ almighty.
446 in game week one.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an all-round. Oh,
yeah, he's
God.
Actually taken a
yeah,
few
he
wickets.
He took a couple of wickets. Yeah, yeah. He got me 250
just,
last week
just
as well.
Mistimed shots into the deep, and actually him doing well. It's so annoying, though.
Mate, that's what the middle order. That's what the middle bowlers are for, though, isn't it? The first change, they're just for catches. That's all people are interested in.
I'm going to ask you this. You don't have to name this player, but is there a certain perhaps club cricketer that you've both played with who reminds you of just getting wickets from mistimed shots?
There is actually.
I can't say.
Yeah, no worries. We'll move on. Saturday, yeah. So Livingston is an all-rounder and he has taken a few wickets and he's been a great pick for you so far. Anyone else who's stood out?
Garton's got me quite a few points.
He's just been included in the England squad for the try too.
Yeah, I mean, he's got like 400 points in the first 2 weeks.
Salad, fair play. I said Livingston, despite having all these England players, it's almost paid dividends, hasn't it? Because I think Roy made a big score one innings. Livingston has been phenomenal for you. And I'll quickly run through my team. Adam Lythe, of course, same as Salad. Were you going to say something about Lythe, Ben?
No, right, that's a good shout.
Yeah,
it's really good because he's good in the blast and he'll play the whole season. That's a really good shot, actually.
That's it. And as ESPN Quick Info claimed, he's got better technique than Joe Root.
Yeah, yeah, we'll move on.
Criminal. Alex Hales, of course, Bell Drummond, Banton,
of course,
Moeen Ali with Carlos Brathwaite.
That's another good shout, Brathwaite. I like that.
I've only just put him in because he was doing well, but I always think of the World Cup final.
Remember the name.
Yeah. It just eats away at me. So I can't really enjoy having him in my team. Got Michael Burgess, the wicketkeeper at Birmingham Bears. He's a very good wicketkeeper from what I've seen. He doesn't really make the headlines, but had a few good stumpings I've seen so far this season. Wayne Parnell was one bowler. Another Birmingham Bears player, Jake Lintott. I'm not sure any of you have heard of him. He's left arm leggy. And he's actually a PE teacher as well, I believe. I had to read up on him when he was named in the Bears squad because I hadn't heard anything about him. Yeah, I think that he somehow won a contract, but he's also a PE master or something at one of these private schools. But he's done really well. He's got quite a few points for me. So that's an interesting one. Simon Harmer and big Luke Fletcher.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a pretty good team. I like that.
Yeah, not done too well for me. So far,
yeah, they will do well. They'll all perform at some point. Luke Fletcher's rubbish, but apart from that,
yeah. Well, he's got a great appetite, so that's all that matters. But yeah, I think we've all got fairly competitive teams. I mean, we'll take a look at the rankings now, and there's quite a significant gap between third place and first place. Yeah, let's see how the rankings look currently. Have you guys calculated it already?
Well, yeah, because I joined a week late, didn't I? So.
Having figured it out, I would still be in first, but Viney be in second.
So from my score, Salad, which is currently 2,000 odd, you've got to take away 699. So if I work that out, it'll be current points total of 1,464. Ben, you're currently on 1,589. So I'm last, you're second.
Yes.
Salad, your current score is, wait for it, it's fairly big.
That's what she said.
1,790. So
it's not even that flattering, is it? Fairly.
Well, I mean, it's
yeah, of course.
I guess what is big in this in this context?
Let's just stop there. Let's just go down a different road.
Fair enough. Yeah, let's move on. Let's get the quiz on the go, of course. So finally, of course, we will round off with another DRS quiz. Always good fun. You may remember prior to the India-England awards show, we went on to bowlers best records with the bat, best figures with the bat, high scores, which was entertaining, wasn't it, I think, to say the least. So we've sort of switched it around and we're going to go with bowlers' best figures with the ball. So it should be an enjoyable one. There's some you'll probably be taken aback by. I've been researching them.
Wait, what is it? Bowlers' best figures with the ball?
Batsman's best figures with the ball.
Oh, batsman's best figures.
I think I said bowlers, didn't I?
Yeah, I was confused. That's not that big of a deal, is it?
Is this in Test cricket?
Test cricket, yeah, should I? Oh,
okay.
Good point, good. Yeah. So let's get into it. Of course, we've got the good old toss to proceed with. So I think, Salah, did you win last time or was it a draw? It's gone so far back.
I think it was a draw, but it meant that I won 2-1 for the
Fair enough. So go on, Salah. Would you like to call heads or tails?
I'll call tails, please, Matt.
Fair enough. Let's have a look. Tails, you're correct. Would you like to go first or second?
I'll go second, please, Matt.
Second. So Ben, you're up first. We've just gone for high-profile batsmen, you know. So first up, I've got for you, Ben, Kane Williamson.
Oh, God.
Crafty off-spin.
Oh. Crafty isn't the C word that I'd use.
Fair enough.
Begins with C engine Y, though, doesn't it?
I think I've been a bit unfair on both of you here with some of these options, but we'll see how it goes. Are his best figures 2 for 31, 4 for 44, or 6 for 51?
2 for 31. It's
got to
be.
Salah, do you know it?
I do know it.
Oh, no.
It's 4 for 44.
Yeah.
What? Is that a joke?
No.
Oh, no. How the fuck has he ever taken a wicket? Oh, God.
Because, you know when he just comes on and bowls a couple of dodgy overs and it always comes up at the bottom?
Yeah.
Like, with his best.
I didn't watch enough of the test matches. I was at work. I work on like you pair.
There you go.
All right. Maybe.
It shows what you're missing out on, Ben.
Yeah, I know it does. I'm annoyed about it, to be honest.
Fair enough.
Who was that against?
England, I think.
It's got to be like Bangladesh.
I think it's England, to be honest.
It was against England.
Oh, how's that for
knowledge? Oh, no.
Yeah, it was. In 2013.
Did we still win or did we lose?
It was in Auckland, 2013. Drew.
Oh, okay.
We drew thanks to some blocking. Ben, you might actually remember this. Matt Pryor scored 100.
Pryor and Panesar.
Yeah, there you go. A nice little cameo at number 5 from Stephen Finn.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Christ,
that's outrageous.
Oh, it's
fair play, Salad. Fair play.
Watch mine be Joe Root now. Here we go.
I was tempted to put Root in it, but I thought that would be giving a free pass.
Yeah, go on, give Salah the easiest ones in the world. Go on, what's Stuart Broad's best?
Steve Smith.
Okay.
Maybe a leg spin idol of yours, Salah.
Well, I mean, without the cheating,
you're about as good as him.
Oh, thanks, man. Oh, yeah, no, but I bet he was good for a couple of wickets back in the day. It's more than you can say for me.
We'll see. Okay. Steve Smith, his best bowling innings are either 3 for 18, 4 for 62, or 5 for 45.
Okay. So I'm going to disregard the 5 because I feel that if he was... Because he wasn't a bowler for all that long, and if he was going to take 5, then they might have kept him as a bowler.
Kane Williamson took 4 wickets. Literally anything could happen.
Mate, it's dross, though, isn't it? Kane Williamson. I bet that was
Steve Smith.
What were the options? 3 for something and 4 for something?
Yeah.
How much was he 3 for and 4 for?
3 for 18.
Uh-huh.
4 for 62.
I don't feel that Steve Smith would get enough overs to take 4 for. Or not for 62 anyway. I'm going to go for 3 for 18 off the basis. I don't think he'd get that many overs.
Correct.
Jesus Christ.
But there's no way he bowled enough to get four for.
Yeah, all right, just move on.
Fair enough. You've actually sort of proved my.
You just thought about it. I just went into it with the absolute certainty that Kane Williamson has never done anything good for the ball.
Fair enough. No, you did work it out well there. So I'll give you Hashim Amla. His best bowling innings is either 0 for 4,
mm-hmm.
0 for 7, or 1 for 11.
Oh, they're so narrow. Because yeah. I feel like he's just someone who you chuck on when you want to swap ends.
Sort of. It's a bit crafty, I must admit. Again, apologies.
So, what was it? 0 for 4, 0 for 7, and 1 for 10?
Yeah, 1 for 11.
Okay. Would he really take a wicket off spin?
Yeah.
Maybe it could have been 0 for 4 then.
You've got a review.
I will have a review, please. I forgot about the review system.
eliminated from the proceedings is 0 for 4. So effectively, okay. Did he get a wicket or didn't he?
How much does that not help, Salas?
I feel like you'd have to bowl more than one over to go for 1 for 11. So I'm going to go with 0 for 7.
I think I said impact was in line on the last question when it should have been pitching in line.
Yeah.
That's redundant because impact is in line. It's correct. So we'll move to the final question. This will...
There's going to be a wicketkeeper in it.
Matt Wade. Give him Matt Wade.
No, I know Matt Wade.
Do you want Matt Wade?
Well, I say I know Matt Wade. No, I know he hasn't got any wickets. I know he's got zero wickets.
Just do whichever one you had planned for him.
Yeah. You were right. It is a wicketkeeper.
Oh, no. Is it MS Dhoni?
Johnny Bairstow.
AB de Villiers.
Mate, this is going to be a punt. Like, go on then.
Yeah. If you do this, I'm bamboozled how you have. But his best bowling innings, is it? Sorry, bear with me. I've gone off the page here. Best bowling innings, either 2 for 49.
Two for 49. He's a wicket keeper. Okay, three, go on.
4 for 22.
Okay.
Or 1 for 12.
2 for 49. First option. Give it to me.
Correct.
no way.
Bye, Ben.
Say really?
Bye. Yeah. Get it over and done with.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. 2 for 49. Correct.
For God's sake.
I cannot believe this.
That's just outrageous. What was the other one you said?
Oh, we don't need to hear about all of the other ones. Let's just move on.
It was 3 for. The other one I put in.
What was this? Yes. What was that? Shut up and go away.
I don't know if I messed it up there because I said the 2 for before the 1 for, which isn't in order of what I've got on the screen. Mm. So whether that made your mind, I'm not sure. I can't believe that's happened.
Yeah, it's null and void. Matt, you've influenced it. That doesn't
exactly.
Count,
I've been tampering.
It's like having Anil Chowdhury on fire, isn't it?
That's it. I don't even know what to say. Sum it up for me, Ben.
Shambles.
Yeah, nice one. Say your goodbyes, everyone.
See ya.
See you later.